How much like that? And three times he got the same message. And then the third time that he rejected, he heard, call thou not common or unclean that which I cleansed. About that time a knock came on the door. You're ready to hear God on the inside. He's ready to move on the outside. If you aren't seeing God move around you, it's probably because you aren't listening within you. You listen within, he'll move without. Just no two ways about it. Old Peter heard and got the message. And then knock came to the door from a Roman soldier named Cornelius. One a Christian, one a Jew even. He was a Gentile, but he was a Roman. He prayed, gave alms. Now, I've been around the church for a long time. I've never seen the church turn down the tithe of a pagan. May not put him on the board, but heaven is impressed when pagans tithe. And this boy prayed and gave up that heaven was impressed and sent an angel to him and said, you go over and get my apostle Peter. And he'll come and instruct you concerning my way. Isn't God good? Now, he can speak directly to him. He can speak by an angel. But love Peter so much, he'd rather speak the message of redemption through Peter. He hadn't assigned the angels the privilege of witnessing the forgiving grace. Glory! There's not an angel in heaven that knows the joy of winning lost sinners. That's the joy of the church. That's the joy of you and me can tell other people how God has died for them, poured out his spirit upon them, wants to come and live on the inside of them. That's my privilege and your privilege. So old Peter did another wonderful thing. On the way to Cornelius' house, he got his vision interpreted. You know, visions are not given for guidance. You know that, don't you? Visions, like prophecies, are given to cast light on guidance. But visions need interpretation. Heaven is so wonderful. Heaven is so great that when it often gives a message to earth, it comes in symbols, and the symbol is interpretation. That may be another talk sometime. But anyway, Peter got the interpretation, and by the time he got to Cornelius, he was ready to tell it. Now, this is one of the most devastating stories for me that I know. Peter told about the experience of seeing this sheep let down and all that, and he told about his rejection, how God said, all that not common country, that's chapter. Now, this is an election year. You understand that, don't you? Now, Peter said, God taught me through that I was to call no man common country. I can't call Walter Mondale common country. I can't even call Ronald Reagan common or unclean. Pray for it. I can't call him. Not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, there's no such thing as someone common or unclean. I meet people sometimes that honestly, I don't think they're kingdom material. But this is revolutionary. When you begin to put it to the test, are people you work with, people you ride up behind, you let the light change and make you miss 30 seconds. They're not ugly. Amazing, isn't it? Do you want to live in the kingdom of God? For you don't judge by earth standards, but by world or heaven standards. And say, Father, show me what they look like in your eyes. Father, show me who they are through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I happen to be United Methodist. We just finished our annual conference. I visited yesterday three preacher friends of mine who were sent to new churches. One of them was sent to the church. He felt surely God lived in the bishop. I mean, he knew the Holy Spirit had done just right. Three blocks from this preacher was another friend of mine that I dropped in on. Little old church, about 80 members. The parsonage was all run down. When I got there, in fact, he was trying to fix a potty glass door off the back deck, and fuming and fretting. And he said to me, "Do you mean you're here to try to tell me that the Holy Spirit guides in United Methodist appointments?" He thought the devil did. Amazing. Where do you go for your judgment? So I said to him, "Look, it's not a matter whether God did it through the bishop or not. The thing that really counts, how do you accept it? In whose name are you going to accept it? Are you going to accept it in the name of Jesus? Are you going to accept it in the name of Satan? You have a choice. Whose kingdom do you want to live in right here in this parsonage?" And we had a wonderful 15 minutes. That old boy broke through. He and his wife, we got on our knees together and had a great time yesterday afternoon. Just as the Lord let us apply verse specific, you know, this kind of living, then it's God's. And I must go to him for that. He'd already said to me, I was asking about it, he said, "You know, one thing that I've already found about the one reason no victory in that church is because of the organist. Said she should have retired 50 years ago. She doesn't know how to play, and she especially doesn't know how to play anything but just old staid hymn out of the hymn book. If I want to lead a chorus, you know, in terms of lifting hands or praising God, she's in another world." And said, "I've got to get rid of her." But in the middle of the prayer, I stopped and said, "What's your organist name?" He told me. And I said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I've already labeled her with unworthiness. Because she's a little older than I am. Preacher, give me an evaluation that I know didn't come from heaven. And while we're on our knees, would you help us to see this woman in your eyes and see what she's worth to you?" He began to cry. Amazing. I know he had a great day today. I just know that. Amazing. Kingdom living means that it's God's. And since it's God's, he alone knows what it's worth. So I'll start trusting him to give me value judgments concerning this new world. The world of the animal people. Are you falling in love with the animal world because they're gifts from God? I don't think they're children of God. But I do think they're creatures of God. And isn't it wonderful how animals respond when you begin to see them in the light of God's love? We have throughout the country, we have a pony. I guess Charlie B is about 30 years old. And 3 years ago, the vet said, "The best you can do is really let me put him to sleep for you. And bury him." And I told him that. I said, "Well, I'll take an answer if it's the only answer we can get. But I believe there's another one." Francis and I started praying for Charlie B. And every day we'd go out and love him, pick an apple to him, talk to him, brag on him. You ought to see him. He thinks he's an Arabian type. Ha 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 ha! struts all over the place. Amazing. Beautiful. Just because, you know, every once in a while, we see it in the light. Do you know, I'll close with this, I'm understanding, I was working a lot with doctors these days. Incidentally, I'm finding more response to things of the spirit in the medical world than I am in any other discipline. Not to say that it's any better than any other discipline, but we may have in a Pentecost coming through the medical world. We're not careful. Isn't it great? It is wonderful. And all across this country, there are Christian medical groups. You know that, don't you? It really is just wonderful to see what's happening. But anyway, one of my medical friends helped me to realize that, in a sense, every cell is a unit within itself and sort of has a mind of its own and needs to learn to live according to the purpose for which it was made. He suggests that much of our illness has to do with some of the cells in our body failing to have a sense of purpose and sort of running around in reaction to other cells because they haven't fitted into the purpose for which they were made. And you know, when he prays, he talks to cells. Imagine that. Medically trained. Aren't you glad he wasn't seminary trained? But actually talks to the cells of his body and says, you were made by God through Jesus Christ. You were made for glory. You were made to give life. You were made to lose your life for the sake of the body. And I just bless you. Well, we were having a healing service down in the University, United Methodist Church, right in Chapel Hill. Now, that's uptown. That's like all the saints. I mean, that's High Steeple Church, right downtown Chapel Hill. And downtown Chapel Hill, they think they're as good as you. But anyway, we were having this healing service. Francis, Sister Jean Hill, and people were coming up to the altar to be prayed for. My goodness, all kinds of things were happening. I was standing coming up the aisle. There was one of the professors from the Divinity School at Duke. I said, oh Lord, how'd you let him get in here? I knew, you know, he was an unbeliever. Just came to spy us out. I had to repent. Because the next thing I knew, there he was standing right in front of me, saying, Tommy, I've come to be healed. Told me what his trouble was. I started to lay hands on him and didn't even touch him. And he went right down. I thought, Lord, you wouldn't do that. To a PhD in divinity school. Slain in the spirit. Right at the altar, University of Memphis. But anyway, we started praying for this one lady, and I said to her, is there some particular concern? She said, it's my back. So I started to pray for her back, but somehow I wasn't picking up how to pray. And I listened, and as I listened, I was aware of her right hand that I was holding. And I realized it was swollen. And I opened my eyes. You can see sometimes. And I opened my eyes. Me and my granddaughters peep when we ask the blessing at the table. It's wonderful, you know. It's just as great. We get like a little child from them. Anyway, I peeped and I noticed my arm was just swollen. And I said to her, I'll pray for your back in a minute. But first of all, tell me about your hand and arm here. Have you had a radical mastectomy? She said, no, I am not. It wasn't radical at all. I did have surgery. It wasn't radical. And medically, there's no reason for my arm to be this way. And I heard in my mind this arm crying out for acceptance. I just put it in my mind. And I said, well, was your surgery severe enough for you to feel less than a woman? Especially on that on your right side where the surgery took place. She said, yes, but let's get on with it. My back is hurting. I said, we will in a minute. But well, you can help me now. And I said, well, in feeling less than a woman, have you sort of been ashamed of this right side? She said, yes, I have. Tell you the truth, that nobody but the nurses, myself, and the doctor have seen it. My husband hasn't seen where my surgery was. The honor to tell the truth. And I said, sister, you've given a message very clearly to this white pastor that you're a second rate, you don't belong, and I'm ashamed of you. And these cells are living under that judgment. And I held up her left hand, and I said, are you proud of this hand? He said, yes, I'm satisfied with that hand. But you aren't with this one. No. Well, I said, I want to lead you in repentance first for playing God to your body and establishing your own sense of worth, your body. Don't you realize your right side was made for God as much as your left side? And this is true whether the body is sick or not. Don't you let sickness and don't let the devil through sickness make you feel like you're a second-rate citizen. First-class citizens sometimes get sick. I want you to know that. I got sick last year. But I'm a first-class citizen. Hallelujah. You are too. Now understand, I had some reports that, you know, was giving me other messages, but I had to pray through. I really did. Sickness has a way of bringing a sense of guilt about it. And we need to deal with that. But anyway, I went ahead and talked to this lady, and I said to her, now, would you ask your right side to forgive you? She said, I don't know how to do that. Well, I said, I'm going to, just between me and you, you didn't even say it out loud, but you just whisper to this body, to your right arm, and say, forgive me for not loving you and not feeling as if you belong to me and not being proud of you as a gift from God. She said, to talk to my body? I said, yes. She said, it makes me feel foolish. I said, I feel a little foolish doing it too. but let's do it anyhow. And she began to talk to that body, the right arm. And while I was standing holding it, in less than 5 minutes, that swelling went down at least 50%. And that hand became just as super. And it was wonderful. And do you know, in the process, her back was healed and I never touched her back. I'm sure that her back was picking up a lot of tension that was coming from other parts of the body. Do you see what I mean? We're in the kingdom. By God's grace, not of our own doing, it's God's goodness that he loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, he gave his son to die for us, and he's translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his own dear son. You're here. You're here for me. Wonderful. And so is everyone else. Let's bow before him. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly darkness glows with thy light divine. I belong to God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And let your spirit settle. Amen. Thank God. We close it.
This is the end of the message. Please run your recorder and fast forward so that the tape will be ready for playing next time.